Blog Talk Radio.
I'm born to reign in life. I'm no ordinary person. I'm destined for greatness. Are you born to win? Hey, yeah. Are you born to reign in life? You are no ordinary person. You are destined for greatness. Oh, help me say, I'm saved.
Born to reign,
say.
Born to reign in life.
I am no ordinary
person.
Whoa, whoa.
I'm dancing for
sing it like
life.
You believe it.
Born to reign.
Born to reign
in life. I'm no ordinary person. I'm dancing for
circumstances may come to challenge me. Situations may come just to end me. But when they turn me to the left and right, they realize that I am the light. When my brothers look at me and despise me, when my sisters stand to mock and reject me, they'll be surprised that I'm standing strong. And I tell them, look, it won't be long, 'cause I'm born to win. Yes, I am, yes, I am. I am no ordinary, ordinary person. No, no. Sing it like you mean to say. Ooh, na, 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 wo, yo.
I'm
no ordinary, ordinary, no, 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 no.
I'm destined for
greatness. Oh, yes, yes, I am.
You are born to win. You are born to reign in life. You're no ordinary person. You're destined by Jesus Christ for greatness. Father God, we come to you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. Just say thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, once again for waking us up and bringing us together. We thank you for giving us a mind, you know, to want to come into your presence, to hear your word. We just want to say thank you, Father. No matter the storms, no matter the challenges, we thank you, God, that you are always with us. We have nothing to fear because you will never leave us or forsake us. So we come to say thank you. Thank you, God, for bringing us to a new week. Thank you for bringing us to a new month. And here we are, just a couple months away from the end of the year. We want to say thank you, Father. It's because of you. So we love you. We honor you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in our midst today. We ask that you would teach us, that you would enlighten us, that you would counsel us. You know, as the word goes forth, that we ask, oh God, that, you know, answers would come, direction would come, whatever each one needs would come. And Lord, to you alone be all the glory, to you alone be all the honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Open your mouths now and begin to give God thanks. Just begin to thank him for your life. Begin to thank him for his goodness, for his mercy, for his love, his kindness. You're not alone. The Holy Spirit is always there to guide you. The Spirit of God dwelling in you. Begin to give him thanks. Thank him for his word. The Bible says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. The word of God brings comfort. The word of God brings healing. It brings guidance, wisdom. Thank God for his word. You may not understand it all yet. Give him thanks anyway. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. If you have a testimony, as always, you can hit 1 on your keypad and we'll give you an opportunity to share. and simply tell us briefly what was the situation, what did you do, and what did God do? I want to start today by taking a look at a book by Kenneth E. Hagin entitled, How You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God. How You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God. I just want to hopefully get to a couple of these excerpts, take a couple of portions out of here and share with you. Because, you know, what makes Christianity unique is that Christianity is God in man, right? The Spirit of God dwelling in us. And we have the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God, the life of God, dwelling in our spirit to guide us, to direct us. And so it's very important then, you know, after salvation, after being saved and accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that we get knowledge, right? That we begin to get understanding. And most important, that we begin to understand who is in us, right? And how to work with him, how to work with the Holy Spirit. So I think a lot of times, you know, people get saved, right? They come to Christ, they love the Lord, they go to church, but there's no understanding, there's no depth, they don't go deeper, for whatever reason. And we have such an amazing gift in us, right? The Spirit of God to counsel us. The Bible calls him the advocate, the comforter, the amplified version, right? To comfort us, to guide us, to direct us. And so we never have to just be alone, you know. We never have to guess, right? Because the Holy Spirit is there to guide you. And that's why the more time in the Word, you know, the more in tune we are, the more he's able to guide you, because the Lord is always going to guide you in alignment with his word, right? So it's so important that we understand whose we are. And I think many of us know whose we are. You know, we know, okay, we belong to Christ, you know. But who is in us and how to work with God in us, with this power that's in us, this force within us, this being, this divine being, this divine presence. Call the Holy Spirit in us to guide us, to help us. So, excuse me, from How You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God, How You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God, a book by Kenneth E. Hagin. Let's just take a look at a couple of these excerpts that I've marked. And one of them is entitled, one moment, something else. Let's just get my spot. Yeah, this is entitled Effects of the Spirit's Indwelling. So I'm just jumping around, but you're going to want to get this book and, you know, sit quietly with it, with your Bible, so that you can get a deeper understanding of just a couple of these excerpts that I'm going to be able to share here. This particular chapter is chapter 12. And it is Effects of the Spirit's Indwelling. Acts 23, verse 1. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. It's interesting, he says. It's interesting to go through the epistles Paul wrote to the church and see what he said about his conscience. You will notice that he always obeyed it. Is your conscience a safe guide? Yes, if your spirit has become a new man in Christ. It is because your conscience is the voice of your spirit. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. These things take place in man's spirit, in the inward man. He is first a new creature, a brand new man in Christ. Second, old things have passed away. The nature of the devil in his spirit is gone. Third, all things have become new in his spirit, not in his body or in his mind. Now he has the nature of God in his spirit. Because remember, man is a threefold being, right? You know, you're a spirit, we are spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Therefore, if your spirit is a new man with the life and nature of God in it, it is a safe guide. A person who has not been born again could not follow the voice of his spirit. His spirit is unregenerate. His conscience would permit him to do anything. And you know that's true, right? A lot of times if somebody's not born again and, you know, really looking to meditate on the word and walk by the word, you know, they may have some counsel that sounds right, but it can be shady, you know, because they're not being guided by the Spirit of God. So they can do anything, you see. And so that's what's very important to understand. When you have the life and nature of God in you, your conscience will not permit you to do just anything. And if you are born again, you have the life of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the life of the Spirit. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Someone said, that just means we're going to live forever up in heaven. No, it does not only mean that. Consider this scripture, 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Have is present tense. We have eternal life now. If you are a born-again Christian, you have the life of God in your spirit now. You have the nature of God in your spirit now. So you see how oftentimes when we think of, oh, eternal life and everlasting life, we think, oh, you know, heaven and just living forever. And of course, that's part of our, you know, what's going to happen afterwards. But when we're talking about, when the Bible's talking about, you know, the life of God, having everlasting life or eternal life, referring to the Holy Spirit, right, dwelling in you. And remember, even when the body dies, the spirit, your spirit lives on, right? Oh, if people would learn to follow their spirit, if they would learn to take advantage of the life that is in them. I joined the church and was baptized early in life, but that didn't make me a Christian. My spirit was still unregenerate when I became totally bedfast with a heart condition at the age of 15. I was truly born again during the 16 months I was bedfast. Then in August 1934, as a Baptist boy, reading Grandma's Methodist Bible, I was healed. I had missed one school year before I was born again. I just barely got by in some classes. Back then, if you made a D, it was failing. And if you failed one subject, you stayed in that grade and took the whole thing over again. Two teachers in two subjects said to me, we gave you 2 points or you would have had a D. But after I was born again, I never made anything but a straight A report card. And I never took one book home to study. Now, I didn't know a thing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit then. But do you know what I did know? I knew I had the life of God in me. As I walked down the street to school every morning, I had a conversation with the Lord. Unconsciously, I was being led by the Spirit. My heart told me to do it, and I listened to my heart instead of my head. I said, now listen to this. Now, Lord, I read in the Old Testament where Daniel and the three Hebrew children were in school in Babylon, and you gave them favor with the dean of the school, Daniel 1:9. God, give me favor with every teacher. Thank you for it. I have it now. I also read that when their 3 years of training were over, the three Hebrew children were 10 times smarter than the rest. Daniel 1, verses 18 to 20. Lord, I have your life in me. John chapter 1, verse 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Light stands for development, knowledge and skill in all learning, and wisdom that I may be 10 times better. Every day as I walk to school, I would confess, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. That life is in me. The life of God is in me. That life is the light. It is the development of me. It is developing my spirit. It is developing my mentality. I have God in me. I have God's wisdom in me. I have God's life in me. That life of God in my spirit dominates me, just in my heart, to walk in the light of life, right? So he kept on saying that every morning as he's going to school. He says here, now I do not mean that I just skipped by. In study hall periods at school, I studied. I listened intently in class to everything that was said. But by receiving eternal life into my spirit and getting my mind renewed with the word, my mentality was increased from 30 to 60%. The life of God will do that for anyone. And that's how he ended up getting straight A's after becoming a failing student. Listen to this. The life of God will do that for anyone. The most amazing miracle I have ever seen of eternal life affecting someone's mentality occurred in a girl I'll call Mary. Her mentality was increased by at least 90%. Mary started to school at 7 and went 7 years without getting out of the first grade. Excuse me. So she started school at 7. And she stayed in the first grade for 7 years. In those 7 years, she never learned to write her name. Finally, they asked her parents to take her out of school. In the church I pastored, Mary was at that time 18 years old. Although she behaved like a two-year-old, she would get down and crawl around on the floor like a baby. If she happened not to be sitting with her mother, she would slide under the pews or lift up her skirt and step over them to get to where her mother was. Her clothes were always a sight. Her hair was never combed. Then one night, during an evangelistic revival meeting, Mary came to the altar. There she received eternal life, the nature of God. So what are we saying? She went to the altar, accepted Jesus Christ. Now, once you accept Christ, right, the Holy Spirit now comes to dwell in your spirit. So we're not talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost when you know that's another level, where now you're speaking in tongues. Not that. But everyone who gives their life to Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells in your spirit. So the counselor is there. The comforter is there. The guide is there. You may not be speaking in tongues, but the Holy Spirit is with you. A drastic change occurred instantly. The very night she sat in the service, I want to go back. Okay, there she received eternal life, the nature of God. A drastic change occurred instantly. The very next night, she sat in the service and behaved like any other 18-year-old young lady. Isn't that something? She had fixed her hair and dressed up. Her mentality seemed to have increased overnight. Years later, I was back in the city to help with a funeral. Whatever happened to Mary? I asked the church secretary. She led me out on the front porch. See all those new houses going up out there? I said, yes. That's an addition to the city. Mary is building that. She's a widow now. She handles all her own money. She is her own financier. She has three lovely children. They are on the front pew every Sunday. They're the best dressed and the most well-mannered children in church. As church secretary, I can tell you that Mary's tithes and offerings are here every Sunday. The life of God came into her. I am convinced, he goes on to say, we have never completely learned what we have received. I am too. Man, I tell you, I think about that thing. Let me finish this. Most of us have thought that the Lord just forgave us, saying that we're the same old creature we always were. We'll just try to hold out faithful to the end. If we get enough people to pray for us, maybe we can make it. No. Thank God, the life of God has been imparted into our spirits. The nature of God is in our spirit. The Holy Spirit is living and abiding in our spirit. And that's the end of that chapter. Isn't that deep? I tell you, when I read about Mary, I just thought, wow. Well, him too, you know, how he was failing and just, and that scripture, John 1:4, right? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then the Holy Spirit just gave him utterance to continue, you know, talking about his mentality. You know, the life of God is in me. That, and just going over that, what was he doing? Getting it into his consciousness. So it wasn't just in his head, because what we want is for the understanding, the word, to drop into our spirit. So by meditating and pondering on it and going deeper and really examining it, you know, that life is in me now. The life of God is in me, right? That light is the life. It is the development of me. It's developing my spirit, my mentality. As he was going over that over and over every day, what happened? And of course, doing his studies, because we're not saying, remember, we're always in partnership with God. So it's never like, oh, God is just going to do this or do that, right? We're always in partnership with God. We're always in a partnership. And so he was doing his part. He was studying, going to the study hall, listening intently in class, probably, I'm sure, taking good notes, all of that, you know. But then working on his consciousness, remembering, I'm not alone. God is in me. And sure enough, it showed up. And then, of course, Mary, right, stayed in the first grade for 7 years. Stayed in the first grade for 7 years and had the mentality of a two-year-old at 18 years old. But somehow led to the altar one night and received Christ. The Holy Spirit came in her. And the very next night, there was a transformation. You see, and that's why when he said here, you know, I'm convinced that we don't know enough about the power in us. I am too. I think that we dance and shout so much, and that's lovely. But we need to understand the power that we're carrying. And so I'm reading from How You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God, by the late Kenneth E. Hagin. And the other, the Bible study course that one of our main books here, you know, one of them is on the Holy Spirit. And that gives you a lot of insight as well. And so what we want to do is to begin to develop the consciousness, you know, God is in me, and depending on him and listening for his guidance. You know, and spending time in the Word so that we can hear properly. You see, because as you spend time in the Word, your spirit, right, becomes trained by the Word of God. It's being developed by what God has spoken, what God has said. And so it becomes a better guide for you. You know, the Holy Spirit is able to guide you, and you can receive. But if you're not, if you get saved and born again, okay, that happened. But then you don't do anything more. Other than maybe you go to church on Sunday, you go to the Bible study in the week or prayer meeting, and then you put your Bible up, and then you go on until the next Sunday. You don't develop. You don't develop. You don't grow. Okay, I want to see if I can get through this other portion here. If I don't get through all of it, well, we'll just do the rest of it next week. This is an important chapter. Let's take a look at this. how to train the human spirit. How to train the human spirit. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Proverbs 20, verse 27. The Lord enlightens us and guides us through our spirit. If that be the case, and it is, then we need to become more spirit conscious. We need to become more conscious of the fact that we are spirit beings and not just mental or physical beings. We need to train our spirits so they will become safer and safer guides. One thing which has held back the Christian world as a whole is that we are more physical conscious, body conscious, and more mental conscious, soul conscious, than we are spirit conscious. We have developed the body and the soul, but we have left the spirit man almost unattended. I have a cassette teaching tape which has helped. In one of our meetings, one young man I know quite well gave his testimony of how it had helped him. And the tape he's speaking of here is just the same title of this chapter, How to Train the Human Spirit. Now, you can order it as an MP3 directly from Hagen's Ministry, right, Kenneth E. Hagen's Ministry, or it's also on YouTube, right, How to Train the Human Spirit. How to Train the Human Spirit. Let's go on. Okay, I have a cassette teaching tape, and of course, you know, we're past cassettes now, so, but which has helped many Christians in this area. In one of our meetings, one young man I know quite well gave his testimony of how it had helped him. Just a few years ago, when he was 31 or 32, he went into business. He left his salaried job with a total of $5,500. He was single at that time, and he had to use this money for living expenses as well as for capital. At one point, his nest egg dwindled to $50. He gave this testimony. I listened to Brother Hagen's tapes. There were three on faith and confession, and one called How to Train the Human Spirit. I went to bed every night listening to that tape. I put it on in the morning and listened to it while I shaved. I listened to it over and over and over again, probably hundreds of times, until that message got into my spirit. Then, by listening to my spirit and using my faith, my asset now totals in excess of $30 million. This young man is only about 38 years old now. He is not a preacher. He is a businessman. He has told me how his spirit has spoken to him and told him how to invest and buy land. I will give the essence of the teaching contained on that cassette in this chapter now, How to Train the Human Spirit. Your spirit can be educated just as your mind can be educated. Your spirit can be built up in strength and trained just as your body can be built and trained. Here are four rules by which you can train and develop your own human spirit: by meditation in the word. Number two, by practicing the word. Number three, by giving the word first place. Number four, by instantly obeying the voice of your spirit. Let's look at number one, by meditation in the word of God. The most deeply spiritual men and women I know are those who give time to meditation in the word of God. You cannot develop spiritual wisdom without meditation. God made that fact known to Joshua just after the death of Moses at the very beginning of Joshua's ministry. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. If God did not want Joshua to be prosperous, why did he tell him how to prosper? If he did not want him to succeed, why did he tell him how to have good success? He wanted Joshua to be successful, and he wants you to be successful. Paraphrasing this truth in New Testament language, we would say, the word of God, particularly the New Testament, shall not depart out of your mouth, but meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. If you ever want to do anything great in life, if you ever want to amount to anything in life, take time to meditate in the Word of God. Start out with at least 10 or 15 minutes a day, then increase the time. I left the last church I pastored in 1949 in the field ministry ever since. I used to do much fasting and a different kind of praying than I do now. You learn things as you go along. Running 2 services a day, which I always did, and sometimes 3, takes a lot out of you physically as well as spiritually. I would teach every morning, pray out loud all afternoon, and preach every night. I ate only 1 meal a day during my meetings, and by exerting so much physical energy, I would grow weak. Then 2 days a week were my fast days, Tuesday and Thursday. I ate no food and drank no water for 24 hours. One day the Lord said to me, I would rather you would live a fasted life instead of having days and periods of fasting. What do you mean? I never heard anyone say that. The Lord said, instead of having certain days you fast and then going back and eating all you want, just live a fasted life. Fasting does not change me anyhow. I am the same before you fast, while you fast, and when you're getting through fasting. It does not change my word. It helps you keep your flesh under. So just don't ever eat all you want. Just keep your flesh under all the time. Then he said, don't spend all that time in the afternoon praying and wearing yourself out before the night service. Lie on the bed and meditate. So I began to lie there in the afternoon, and I got further meditating than I ever did praying and fasting. I grew more spiritually. That is what God is saying in Joshua 1:8. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. I wanted to be prosperous in the ministry. And then thou shalt have good success. I wanted to have good success in the ministry. This works whether you are in the ministry, whether you raise cattle, sell automobiles, or whatever you do. This word of God shall not depart out of thy mouth. Talk about the word, but thou shalt meditate therein. Think on the word. The Hebrew word translated meditate also carries this thought with it, to mutter. Mutter the word to yourself. The Lord led me before I ever heard anyone teach on meditation to lie on the bed and mutter the word. I just said it to myself, and I would have some of the most tremendous services. I developed myself spiritually and at the same time conserved my physical strength. I like another translation of Joshua 1:8. The last phrase reads like this: you shall be able to deal wisely in the affairs of life. You could not have good success if you did not know how to deal wisely in the affairs of life. How can you know how to deal wisely in the affairs of life? Because you meditated in the Word of God and walked in the light of that Word. Okay? So we're to meditate on the Word, and particularly in this dispensation, we're talking the New Testament, right? So when you listen to the tape, you'll hear, but you're going over the epistles, you know, especially the epistles, right, the letters Paul wrote. But the whole New Testament, obviously, you can take it from Mark on down, you know, but or Romans on. But you're taking time, you know. So when you're there meditating, you know, you're going over it. I don't lie on my bed to meditate because, for me, I will go to sleep. It just, you know, it's just too relaxing. But I sit up, right? So you sit, you have the word, you have your, you know, your notes. And as you're going over perhaps a chapter, then a particular verse may jump out at you. You stop and you ponder that. You go over it again and again. You see, you're taking time. So you start with 10 to 15 minutes. But what that's doing, because the Word of God is spirit and it's life, right? What the Word of God is doing, it's bringing light, you know, sharpening your mentality. So like he said, you may not be a preacher. You know, everybody's not called to be a preacher, right? You may be a businessman, a hairdresser, a lawyer, a doctor, whoever you are, teacher. Doesn't matter, right? As you're meditating on the Word, it's going to bring light to your mentality. It's going to sharpen your mentality, you know, and give you the wisdom you need to operate wisely in the affairs of your life. Too often we're guessing, you know, or going by what all the authorities have said. But remember, what did God say? That always needs to be where we're coming from. What did God say? And then we're doing that. So now let's look at the second step, practicing the Word. Because you can hear the Word, you can see the Word, meditate the Word, but if you're not doing the Word, you're still nowhere. Let's look at that. Now, practicing the Word means being a doer of the Word. James 1:22. But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. We have many talkers about the Word and even many rejoicers about the Word. But we do not have many doers of the Word. Begin to practice being a doer of the Word by doing in all circumstances what the Word tells you to do. Some have thought that being a doer of the Word meant to keep the Ten Commandments. That is not what James 1:22 means. After all, under the New Covenant, we have but one commandment, the commandment of love. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." John 13:34. A doer of the Word will do that. If you love someone, you won't want to steal from him. You won't lie about him. The New Testament says that love is the fulfilling of the law. If you walk in love, you won't break any law that was given to curb sin. Being a doer of the Word means that we are to do primarily what is written in the epistles. They are the letters written to us, the church. As an example of doing the Word, let us look at some instructions given us in one of the epistles. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So do that. Now, we don't mind practicing part of this verse, the part that says to pray. But if you practice just that part and not the first part, you are not practicing the Word. You're not a doer of the Word. The Amplified translation of Philippians 4:6 begins, "Do not fret or have anxiety about anything." First, we are told not to fret. If you're going to fret and have anxiety, it will do no good to make requests. That kind of praying does not work. An over-anxious prayer full of fretfulness does not work. I felt very sorry for a minister who came to see me some years ago. But sometimes it doesn't give a man the answer just to sympathize with him. His life was full of storms and tests. His stomach was upset. He couldn't keep down what he ate. He couldn't sleep. His nerves were shot because of a particular incident. He came to me for help. I began to tell him what the Word said and how to pray about the circumstance. When I encouraged him to take the scripture and do it, when I encouraged him to take this scripture, Philippians 4:6, and do it, he rebelled. He said, "Oh, yes, yes, but everyone doesn't have the faith that you have." I told him it was not a matter of having a lot of faith, but a matter of endeavoring to practice the Word. I told him if he would practice the Word, his faith would be built up. And I told him how I practice this particular verse. When I get alone, I read this verse aloud, and I tell the Lord that his Word is true and that I believe it. I told this minister that he would be tempted to say he couldn't help worrying and fretting, but that God had not asked us to do something we cannot do. When God said not to fret, That means we can keep from fretting and being anxious. God is a just God, and he will not ask us to do something we cannot do. When I first began practicing this verse, it was easy to believe that I could make my requests known unto God, but it was hard to believe that I could not fret. However, since God says we don't have to fret, then I would say I refuse to fret or have anxiety about anything. I tell the Lord that I bring my request unto him, then I thank him for the answer. This quiets my spirit and pacifies the troubled spirit the devil tries to make me have. Then I would go about my business. But before I knew it, however, the devil was trying to get me to fret again. I would simply go right back and read this verse again and keep claiming it. This minister began to practice Philippians 4:6, told me later that the problem worked out and did not get as big as he was expecting. He was about to be sued over a certain matter, but God helped him out of it. It is possible to become so fretful over something that you cannot eat or sleep. But all you have to do is practice the word, and you will get results. Philippians 4:7 is a result of practicing Philippians 4:6. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Many people want what verse 7 talks about, but they don't want to practice what verse 6 says to do to get it. The Amplified translation of verse 7 says, "And God's peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." God's peace will keep guard over your heart and your mind. But can you reap these results and have this peace without being a doer of the word? No, you really cannot. Verse 6 tells us not to fret. People who worry and fret continually think on the wrong side of life. Verse 8 tells us what we are to think about. Philippians 4, verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Do verse 8. Think about the right things. Many people think about the wrong things. You know what they think about because of what they talk about. The Bible says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Matthew 12, verse 34. They continually worry and fret and think on the wrong side of life. And they continually talk unbelief. You cannot be a doer of the word and continue to talk unbelief. The more you talk about some things, the bigger they get. If something does not meet all of these qualifications, if it is not true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, do not think about it and do not talk about it. The Amplified translation of 1 Corinthians 13:7 reads, "Love is ever ready to believe the best of every person." I have found through the years that most of the stories I have heard about people do not even meet the first qualification. They are not even true. So don't talk about the stories you hear. Don't even think about them. Some things you hear might even be true, but they might not be pure and lovely. And notice this, of a good report. Therefore, we are not to think about them. By thinking about such things, we give place to the devil. His greatest weapon is the power of suggestion. He is ever endeavoring to enter your thought life. That is why we are told in God's word to think on these things. Particularly in the epistles, God the Holy Spirit is speaking to the church. So meditate on these letters and what he has to say, and be a doer of the word. You will grow spiritually. The third step, give the word first place. The training, the developing, the educating of our spirit comes by giving the Word of God first place in our lives. We're reading from How You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God, and we're looking specifically at the chapter entitled How to Train the Human Spirit. Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to them that find them, and health to all their flesh. God says in this passage, attend to my words. Give heed to them. Put them first. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Listen to what I have to say. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep looking at the word of God, my words, in your heart. There are rich dividends for doing this. Why is it that God tells us to put his word first and to listen to what he has to say, to keep looking at his word and to keep his word in our hearts? It is because they, his words, are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. The margin of the King James says the word translated health is the Hebrew word for medicine. God's word is medicine to all their flesh. There is healing in the word. In the 12 years I pastored, there were church members who would get sick, go to the hospital, and then ask for prayer. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a doctor. Certainly not. We believe in hospitals and doctors. Thank God for them. But I am saying, why not put God's word first? Sometimes, as a last resort, Christians will turn to the word, particularly believe in divine healing at the time, told of how he had had a problem with his tonsils. His doctor kept insisting that they be removed. So the date was finally set for his tonsils to be removed. It was his family's custom to read the Bible and pray together each morning before the children went to school. On the very day this minister was scheduled to enter the hospital, this family's daily scripture passage was the one which tells of King Asa, who got a disease in his feet, and instead of seeking the Lord, he sought physicians, and he died. 2 Chronicles 16, verses 12 to 13. The minister said he was struck by this. He realized that he had not even prayed about his tonsils. He shared this with his wife and children and asked that they pray together about his tonsils. When they prayed, the Lord told him not to have them removed. To his astonishment, the Lord healed the tonsils, and he has had no more trouble with them. There is a lesson to be learned here. The Bible does not imply that King Asa died because he put the physicians first. However, it does imply that he should have put the Lord first. We should train ourselves to put the Lord first. We should train ourselves to ask ourselves concerning any matter, what does God's word have to say about this? We should ask ourselves what God has to say about anything that may come up in our life, and then put that word first. Sometimes family and friends will try to rush you into things. But you need to think about what the Word of God says, God's Word first, in every area of your life. Finally, number four, instantly obey the voice of your spirit. We've been looking at how to train the human spirit, going through the four steps, meditating the Word, practicing the Word, obeying the Word, and now instantly obeying the voice of your spirit, right? So the four steps, meditate the word, practice the word. I'm sorry, give the word first place in your life, right, which is obeying the word. And now we're going to look at instantly obeying the voice of the spirit. The human spirit has a voice. We call that voice conscience. Sometimes we call it intuition, an inner voice or guidance. The world calls it a hunch. But what it is your spirit speaking to you. Every man's spirit, saved or unsaved, has a voice. The human spirit, as we have seen in previous chapters, is a spiritual man, a spirit man, inward hidden man. He is hidden to the physical senses. You cannot see him with his physical eye, with the physical eye. nor touch him with your physical hands. This is the man who has become a new creature in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. When a man is born again, his spirit becomes a new spirit. God prophesied through both Ezekiel and Jeremiah that a time would come when he would take the old stony heart out of men and put in a new one. He said that he would put his spirit into us. Under the new covenant, this new birth became available. The new birth is a rebirth of the human spirit. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Everything that was old in his spirit, the old nature, taken away, and all things have become new. As you give this newborn spirit the privilege of meditating on the Word of God, the Word becomes the source of its information. Your spirit will become strong, and the inward voice of your conscience, educated in the Spirit, will become a true guide. Why? Because you're meditating on the Word. Did you notice that meditation in the Word, practicing the Word, giving the Word first place, all come before obeying your spirit? You see, if your spirit has had the privilege of meditating in the Word, of practicing the Word, of putting the Word first, then your spirit is an authoritative guide. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, Proverbs 20, verse 27. Your newborn spirit has within it the life and nature of God. The Holy Spirit dwells within your spirit. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, 1 John 4:4. The Holy Spirit dwells in your spirit. God has to communicate with you through your spirit because that is where he is. Your spirit gets its information through him. Learn to obey the voice of your spirit. If you are not accustomed to doing that, of course, you will not get there quickly. As we have said, your spirit can be built up and strengthened just as your body can be built up and strengthened. Your spirit can be educated just as your mind can be educated. But just as you did not begin school in the first grade 1 week and graduate from the 12th grade the next week, your spirit will not be educated and trained overnight. However, if you will follow these 4 points, after a while, you can know the will of God, the Father, even in the minor details of life. You will receive guidance and will always instantly get either a yes or a no. You will know in your spirit what you should do in all the affairs of life. Isn't that fabulous? Man, that's awesome. So one, meditate the Word. Two, practice the Word. Three, give the Word first place. Four, instantly obey the voice of your spirit. And so we've been reading from how you can be led by the Spirit of God. In this particular chapter, how to train the human spirit. And as we said earlier, you can, you know, order it from Hagen. Well, the book, obviously, you should get the book because there's much more that he, much more insight that he gives. Train the human spirit. You can get it as an MP3. You can also get it on YouTube. Right? It's on YouTube, How to Train the Human Spirit. So you can pull it up, listen to it. And when he talked about that young man who did so well in business, he kept listening to the tape over and over again. And so what happens is that it's like what I've just read to you is pretty much what's on that tape. And so the more you listen to it, the more it goes inside of you, you begin to realize what he's saying more and more. And you'd begin to do it, right? So he didn't just listen to the tape. He also did follow these instructions. And as we said, you're meditating, you know, when he's speaking here, you're meditating mainly on the epistle so that we can begin to familiarize ourselves with what the Holy Spirit, the instructions he gave to us, you know, under the new covenant. And so you're meditating. It doesn't mean you're not studying the Old Testament and Mark, you know, the Gospels and so on. That's not what we're saying. But you're taking time to meditate on the epistles particularly and then follow the instructions there, right? And so as he gave that Philippians 4:6, it's so easy to get anxious. It's so easy to fret as things come at us. But our job is to not get caught up in the fretting or the anxiety, right? Our job is to stay focused on what did God say. And so always, it's initially it's a fight because the flesh, you know, wants to think and do and, you know, and then everything around you is kind of encouraging it. But you have to really make up your mind to stay on what did God say and not get caught up in the anxiousness. Because then you won't be able to hear from God. You won't be able to be guided. And you'll just be reacting all the time, right? So situations, depending on what you're dealing with, what you're facing, you know, can bring you into reaction. So you're not really getting guided. You're reacting. You're reacting. You're reacting. And so you become a puppet for the situation. And remember, the enemy works in the realm of the mind there. He works, that's his defense realm, the thought, working in that realm. So you're seeing images, oh my God, you're hearing, oh my God, your mind is going crazy, and you can't let it do that. You just can't. You have to keep bringing it back. But we're not saying this is easy, right? Because the natural thing to do is to just worry and fret. It's natural. It's almost, you know, people might even think you're being irresponsible if you're not talking about it and worrying about it and going over it. It may seem to you're being irresponsible, but you're not. It's not that you're ignoring it and facing God. You see? You're ignoring it and facing God, listening for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, listening for the guidance of the Lord, because the Lord will always guide you. You see? There's another chapter in here. We talked about another gentleman who was also a multimillionaire, and he made his wealth through investment, you know. But he would always lock himself away for like 3 days, just being quiet. Before he, you know, sometimes an investment opportunity would come, and his mind would say, yeah, yeah, oh my God, this is great. But he didn't react. And this is a man who, you know, when you get the book, you'll read about him. You know, he didn't get shoes. He didn't have shoes until he was 12 years old. You know, listen, isn't this God good? This power that we have in us, this Holy Spirit, you know, this amazing God. You know what I'm saying? This man didn't have shoes for 12 years. He didn't get a pair of shoes until he was 12 years old. You hear me? And still ends up a multimillionaire. But how'd he do it? Listening to the Spirit of God in him, listening to the Holy Spirit, listening to what his Spirit would say. So when they would come to him, you know, later on in life, you know, he was doing, you know, doing things, trying to be something. You know, people would come with different opportunities. And, you know, your mind think, oh, yeah, this sounds great. I'm going to do this, blah, 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 blah. But he didn't. He would get quiet, shut everything out. He said sometimes maybe he would just eat one meal for the day, right? But he wasn't necessarily fasting as such, but he was just being quiet, pulling himself apart, being in the Word, listening. And he would get, you know, he would get the answer very quietly down on the inside. I mean, you know, your spirit, you know, that still small voice. He would get the answer very quietly. Yes, go do this. Or, you know, sometimes he would think, oh, no, 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 forget it. This is a bad deal. I'm not doing this. Wow. See, that's what his mind would tell him. But no matter what his mind told him, he still took the time. He took 3 days, nobody rushing him. He took 3 days, and he would just get quiet. And the very deal that he thought was going to be, don't do it. He would get an answer, no, do this, invest in this. And that's how it happened. So you see, I guess you could kind of liken it, you know, and I say this very, very, very respectfully, that we have our own divine GPS, you know. And the beautiful thing about God, you know, I don't know, sometimes you're following the GPS and you it gives you a route or you miss the route. But you notice how it reroutes you? And so God's mercy is like that, right? Sometimes we've missed it. I know I have at different times. But to go back to the Lord, you know, and he just reroutes you. So we want to give God thanks. Father, we just thank you that we have such a loving God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. You said that you would put your word, you would put your spirit in us. And Lord, you have indeed done so. And so we want to thank you, Father. We want to thank you for your word today. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. If there's anyone under the sound of my voice, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'd like to give you an opportunity to do so now. If you're not saved, you're not safe. And you don't have access to the Word. You know, you don't have access to anything I just shared with you. If you're under the sound of my voice and perhaps you knew Jesus Christ, but the road got long, you got discouraged, you got turned away. Jesus loves you, and he's calling you to come back home. For both groups, pray this prayer with me now. Dear Lord, I come to you today. You know my life. You know how I have lived. Forgive me, Lord. I repent of my sin. I accept you, Lord Jesus, as my Lord and Savior, physician and healer, my provider, who died for my sins. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and live your life in me and through me. From this day forward, I belong to you. Bow your heads now as I pray with you. Father God, these are children that you have brought to yourself this morning. The Bible says no man comes unless... So we thank you, God, for those whom you've drawn this morning. And I pray, oh God, that the same grace that drew them, let that same grace, Lord, continue to keep them until the end. Put in them a hunger and a thirst to hear your word, to study your word, to meditate your word. And we, to you alone, Lord, we give all the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. As you go, know that God's Holy Spirit is in you and going with you, before you, making faith joyful and successful your way. As you go, remember you have a guide to teach you, to tell you, to counsel you, to strengthen you, to comfort you. You're not alone. Rely on your guide. Ask him. Spend quality time meditating in the word, practicing the word, right? Give the word first place. Always ask, what did God say? Before you make any decision, what did God say? And do only that, obeying the voice of your spirit. Amen and amen. Come on, let's say together. I will stay focused. I will build my faith. Pray in the Holy Ghost. I will be consistent. It is my new dawn. And in the mighty name of Jesus, yes, it is. God bless you now. I love you. God bless you. We'll be together next week. Bless you now.
I'm born to reign in life. I'm no ordinary person. I'm destined for greatness. Are you born to win? Hey, yeah. Are you born to reign in life? You are no ordinary person. You are destined for greatness. Oh, help me say, help me say.
Born to reign,
say.
Born to reign in life.
I am no ordinary
person.
Whoa,
I'm dancing for
sing greatness. It like you believe it.
Born to reign.
Born to reign
in life. I'm no ordinary person. I'm dancing for greatness.
Circumstances may come to challenge me. Situations may come just to end me. But when they turn me to the left and right, they realize that I am the light. When my brothers look at me and despise me, when my sisters stand to mock and reject me, they'll be surprised that I'm standing strong. And I tell them, look, it won't be long, 'cause I'm born to win. Yes, I am, yes, I am. I am no ordinary, ordinary person. No, no. Sing it like you mean to say. Ooh, na na na, whoa, yo.
Born to reign in life.
I'm no